Once, just our frequent memory verses and our devotions here from the first paragraph of the book of James. Just been encouraged to ponder how the Lord uses trials in your life to be able to press in a more earnest way, even be able to truly count it all joy, perhaps to even look back on some things in life and to they'll see them as not necessarily, as Pastor mentioned, joyful, but to be able to appreciate what the Lord did through them, not only in your life, and even what you were able to learn and appreciate and grow in the grace and knowledge even of your Lord and Savior through them. As that is the objective, again, trials are unique in their ability to and designed to bring things into focus, to cause us to get our eyes back on our Savior oftentimes, and to, in many ways, more fully realize our need of a moment-by-moment walk of fellowship and dependence upon Him. But in this verse in particular, I think it's helpful to take in kind of the whole context here to begin with. So instead of just reading our memory verse for the month, we'll read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, just to kind of capture the essence of what we've looked at in the past, as well as where does our specific passage fit in all of this. So please follow along. We'll read verses 2 through 8. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man suppose that he will receive, not that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So first things first, really we have the technology. And now we know how to use it. First, the audience here, my brethren. And as we've seen in several passages, even looking at problem passages here in recent months, that this is a term used of believers in the New Testament. These were people who had put their faith in Christ. This passage is not written to the unsaved. If you're outside of Christ today, these truths, these promises, these promised provisions from God are not yours. This is written to my brethren, and that's you, if you've put your trust in Christ alone as your Savior. So that is the audience. So if you're a believer in Christ this evening, this is for you. And more importantly, the content of this context really is, in this paragraph, it's the encouragement, instruction, provision, and a warning for you, the believer in Christ, in dealing with trials. You have the encouragement here right off the bat. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That whatever has befallen you, whether it's great or small, is not meaningless. It's not some freak happenstance in life, that God is actually in this. That this is passed across God's front desk and received the stamp of approval. Count it all joy, knowing that this is just not some meaningful nuisance in life. Knowing that this testing of your faith is designed to produce patience. But we have some instruction. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Then we have a wonderful provision in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. And then we have a bit of a warning. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. So, this paragraph here is really, in a nutshell, a bit of an instruction manual, as it were, to navigate the trials of life. That is the context in which we find verse 5, where we have our provision that God has in trials. Where did my slides go? There. If, it says here, our verse starts out, if any of you lacks wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom. And the if statement there in the Greek is actually in the first class condition, which means it assumes that this statement is true. If, and I assume that you lack wisdom. And that's a pretty safe assumption. I think we can all acknowledge the fact that we all lack wisdom. It's different from the classic use in the English where if is kind of a may or it may be class. That's actually in the Greek would be the third class. But this is if, and it's assumed that this statement is true, that you do lack wisdom, that I lack wisdom. And I think oftentimes it's easy to overlook perhaps our lack of wisdom because we just sometimes dealing in trafficking in a sin-cursed world, you're just kind of used to some of the downers of life or the trials of life or the unknowns in life. And how many times a day have you thought to yourself, well, what do I do? And what should I say? Well, where do I go? What will happen next? Perhaps you've carefully considered some things and said, well, there's a need here. Now, how could I help? Maybe you're at a point in life where life seems to be on hold a bit. You know, maybe you've been saved for some time and it seems that, you know, God's direction in your life has been very clear and you've just been enjoying fellowship with Him and walking with Him and seeing, you know, Him direct your steps in perhaps a more dynamic way, and now it seems like things have gone quiet. My life is on hold, but how can I still redeem the time? Maybe it's not abundantly clear. We lack wisdom. What would the Lord have me to learn through this trial? You know, oftentimes, right when the trial hits, especially in the front end of it, usually that's not our first thought at all. It's more, God, get me out of this trial. But we should stop and think, what would the Lord have me to learn through this? How has the Lord designed this for my growth and spiritual betterment? Oftentimes, it's just dealing with the unknown. Should I seek to minister here or should I seek to minister there? Are my priorities in order before the Lord as He would have them? Do I truly have first things first here? I need wisdom. Perhaps you're feeling overwhelmed. There is more on my plate than I could possibly handle. That might be the trial. Perhaps you're seeking to reach out and minister to somebody and you just don't know how. Maybe the person has a hard heart. Maybe this is just new territory. Seeking to minister to somebody who might be in a trial or circumstance in life that you've never run across this before. How do I encourage somebody who's grieving in this way? How can I encourage somebody to look to the Lord when they're caught in such worldly things? I do not know. Sometimes those are the trials. They're not, you know, perhaps what we consider, you know, the flat tire in the driveway in the morning when you're trying to get to work, or perhaps the bad news, you know. Trials range, obviously, a full spectrum. But sometimes it's the small things in life where it's just easy to not appreciate the fact that we lack wisdom and that we need to depend upon the Lord. When you get some terrible news and you're completely crushed, oftentimes it's easier to see that I need the Lord than it is when, well, so-and-so called and, you know, I've been seeking to witness to them and they're very close and I don't know what to say. Sometimes we don't see the need of wisdom in that. But what is this wisdom? This is general wisdom here. This is wisdom regarding the skills in the affairs of life, its practical and proper application of knowledge and exercise of sound judgment. And in this specific context, it's navigating the trials that the Lord has approved in your life. practical and proper application of knowledge. Now, it's one thing, sometimes gaining knowledge is fun. If you're truly interested, I mean, many of us have gone to class, we've been in school, things of that sort. You know, Mike's in Gibbs right now, and I'll bet you learning things in Gibbs is interesting, and it's exciting. And all of a sudden, Pastor Roxer dumps the wheelbarrow load of homework on you, and all of a sudden, we're seeking to take what we have learned and apply it in a proper and practical way. And sometimes the novelty can wear off in a hurry. All of a sudden, we've gone from knowledge and now we're seeking to gain some wisdom. And that can be difficult. It can be wearisome. Oftentimes, knowledge can be exciting and wisdom can be wearisome. But we see here also that this here it is an imperative, because it is true that we do lack wisdom. It's imperative here for you to ask God for wisdom. Let him ask of God. That's in the imperative, which means you could take it as a command, you could take it as imperative sounds. It's absolutely imperative. This is absolutely necessary that you ask of God. It is God's design for you and I that we depend upon him. It is God's design for you and I as his dear children to relate to him, to be directed by him as we go through life. You know, it's been kind of fun the last couple of weeks in Sunday school. We've been going, it's a kind of a chronological study through the Word of God. It's the greatest story ever told, and it leads to the cross. And it's an excellent way to present the Word of God. And we're in the beginning, in creation right now. And we just went through the creation of mankind, man and woman. And they were made in God's image. And they were made in God's image so that we could enjoy a relationship and fellowship with our God and Creator. And again, it's a thing, it's a fine detail sometimes in life where we don't appreciate that. We are created with a design intent, if you will, to relate to our God. And in the context of trials here, it is to be asking for wisdom. It is absolutely necessary. And it's to be done in faith, as we have the warning in verse 6, but let him ask in faith. You know, the one who is seeking truly the Lord's wisdom to direct his steps in and through a trial is to ask in faith, which means that we need to trust that the Lord is going to direct and undertake here consistent with his character. God loves you. God is not going to harm you through this. Though it may be painful in ways, maybe difficult beyond what you ever could have imagined in some ways, God's character has not changed in and through the trial. But let him ask in faith. And this is really even consistent with John 7:17. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. But it starts out, if anyone wills to do his will. Not if somebody wants to, well, God, tell me your will and let me weigh it out a little bit and let me decide if your will is really best for me, and then I'll decide whether I go this way or that way. The idea here is to let him ask in faith, trusting that God's wisdom and God's will in and through the trial is going to be what is best. Oftentimes it's hard to wait for things. Sometimes the trial might be waiting on the Lord, waiting for his deliverance, waiting for him to direct and undertake through this. And we want to push the easy button in the worst way. We want our perceived needs satisfied now. And the world has a cheap substitute to offer up and to go that way. And if we're not asking in faith, we want to weigh it out. How do you want to direct and undertake? And what wisdom, how is the Lord going to undertake in my trial? Well, I want to decide if that's really best for me or not. Which is being double-minded. And we should see here in our warning, for let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So when we seek wisdom from the Lord, we should be fully trusting that the wisdom that he is going to provide is the absolute best, because how could it be anything else? That is his promised provision in the trials of life. God's promised provision is wisdom. Perfect wisdom. And it's given liberally. Not, you know, just a little squirt to get you past. Liberally. Bountifully. In full amount. And it's given without reproach. And that's some of the other things. Sometimes we have these small cares in life and we don't even bother to bring them before the Lord and to seek His wisdom in them, even in the small things. And think, bah, I got this. You know, God gives wisdom without reproach. He is not disappointed when we bring our small cares to Him. In fact, that pleases Him. That is what He is seeking. Without reproach. He's not going to sit there and go, yeah, I guess I didn't bail you out again, you moron. That is not God. It is without disparaging, without condescension or abuse. He is pleased and honored when we bring our cares to Him, when we come to Him in faith, seeking His wisdom in the trials of life. So hopefully this verse, as it has for me, is just pondering it a bit more intensely this month. Hopefully the verse has given you cause to consider the amazing provision of God's wisdom in trials. You know, this verse first became precious to me really in our first year of marriage because all of a sudden, you know, there's two sinners interacting under one roof on a regular daily basis. And we have this relationship now that it's God's design that this be the most important human relationship that we will ever have. And being the sinners that we were, we locked horns from time to time. And there was a need for wisdom. People I have found, at least in my life, have provided some of the most challenging trials. In some ways, just because the stakes are high. Someone's soul is at stake. Someone's spiritual growth is at stake. Your own soul, your own spiritual growth is at stake. But thankfully, we have a God who has made a provision of wisdom in those things. And sometimes it takes patience. We want the quick fix, right? Sometimes in interacting with people, we want to zoom in, you know, with our cape trailing in the breeze and bring them the fix. And we don't have the fix. And oftentimes there's a lot of these things, you know what, the answer doesn't need to appear in 5 seconds. Sometimes we wish it would, but it doesn't need to. Oftentimes, when seeking to minister to people or to encourage people or when you need encouragement, you know, if somebody ponders it a bit, it was to bring it before the Lord, and to consider a few things before the mouth was opened, you know what? Much more encouragement and edification would likely take place. But perhaps the next time you think, I don't know, bring that care before the Lord, fully trusting that He will give wisdom liberally. That is the provision here in the trials of life. So with that, why don't we pray? Father, we are very grateful this evening just again to be able to gather together as body of believers of like and precious faith. To even be encouraged, Father, to see your provision in the trials of life, though not always easy. Sometimes it's difficult just to be patient, Father, to wait upon you. But we know that you give wisdom. Thank you that even in the trials of life, Father, we know that you are indeed working all things together for good. We know that the things that touch our life, Father, are not without good cause or good reason. And that you're using these things, Father, that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of you and grow in our relationship with our Savior and with others, Father. Thank you that, again, we just have these precious truths and promises from your Word. And we just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.